great to see you this morning. What's up? Really great to be here.
And you can do this, you can open your Bible at night time and go and have a look what I've read, because I'm just going to read this, some of this stuff out to you, because for me, if heaven is accessible, then everything in heaven has the capacity to change me. And I want to, in fact, it should be really good. Let's just stand on our feet. Holy Spirit. Just want you to pray in the Spirit a little bit. I want you to allow inside your heart to begin to draw towards the presence of God. Father, we draw towards you today. Father, we draw towards your presence. Holy Spirit, we draw towards your presence. Father, we draw towards the realm of your kingdom. Father, we honor you today. We honor you and who you are. We honor, Father, the realm of your government. We honor the role that you play in our lives, Jesus. We honor you today. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessings of God that knows no bounds, that are pressed out, shaken out, and running all over. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the capacity and the privilege to live in this day on the face of the earth. Lord, you've given us this day. Lord, this is our day. And Father, we want to thank you for that today. Lord, we give you praise and honor. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you came to lead us into all truth. And Holy Spirit, that you are unlocking truth about who you really are and what's going on in the realm of the heavens. Lord, we want to thank you that truth is being released. Lord, that the scrolls of Daniel that he saw before the world was formed, Lord, that they're being unlocked today. Father, I ask for the blessing of the Lord to come over us, Father, as we dwell together here in unity. Lord, we engage your presence today willingly, willfully, and attentively in the name of Yeshua. Father, we ask for this fear of the Lord, Father, to come around our minds and hearts. Lord, that a great awareness of our responsibility, Father, begin to engage us. Father, we love you. We love you. We just say, Lord, thank you. Lord, we just honor you that you made a way. Jesus, you made a way. Jesus, you made a way. Well, you made a way, Lord. Jesus, you made a way. And we honor you today. Jesus, you made a way for us to come into what was impossible. You made a way, Jesus. And we honor you today, Lord. Shate isiare kechi masutu isiare te shiamako tapaku shi si isiare te kiamato tini shi surabaku shi. Lord, we engage your presence today. Father, we open our hearts towards your presence as a living sacrifice. Lord, we present our bodies today as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in your sight, Lord. Shakete. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab yourself a seat. One of the things that I've done with my group, I have got this group of people I'm working with at home, and we've just done about 4 or 5 sessions about praying in tongues and all the different stuff associated with it, and I began to teach them how to pray in tongues in English. And so it's been really exciting to watch that happen with them, because actually it's just a gift of the diversity of tongues which manifests in the ability to speak in the spirit in English. Then that's how you pray with your spirit and with understanding, is in the language that you're natively born with, but it's in the spirit. And that's how you're supposed to pray. And so when Paul says, I pray in the tongues of men and angels, well, whatever, you need to get more than just one tongue. And again, there's a gift of diversity of tongues, which means many tongues. And you can pray in many tongues. And we're just not taught this stuff in church. And so we've been engaging our people then. It was great just to hear some of you praying in different stuff. Hallelujah. So for me, my journey with the Spirit of Wisdom kind of came out of it is an encounter with God, because I had always, I asked him a question. I don't know whether you ask God questions. I kind of do. Like, questions like, what were you before you were? Like, just simple questions like that. That, you know, aren't so blasted simple, really. But actually, they are simple. Because remember, all of eternity is held within 1 minute from you, which was 1 minute ago. All of eternity is stored in that. It's not a long time ago. We just put a time frame around it and say it's a long time ago. But the record of it all is only 1 minute from you. Holy Spirit. Which means that all of eternity is no longer than 1 minute away from me. And the full record of eternity is no longer than 1 minute away from me. So if all the record of eternity is 1 minute away from me, let's just say God who was. And a God who is, and a God who is to come, and we live in if we live in what is, what was the was? They're my kind of questions. I mean, these are the things that I spend days meditating over. Father, what were you? What? And these questions were going through my brain and through my mind and my heart, saying, Father, what were you before you were? Like, what was it like before eternity was formed? Because you were before then. You were functional as a being before eternity. Because eternity to us is a record of time. It's still a record of time. Because eternity must meet the beginning of the end. The end must meet the beginning again. And that's why something's eternal, because it's circular. It goes round and round and round and never stops circulating. Because it means it goes on forever. And we can't fathom forever. So we're still trying to confine it into our little small three-dimensional being world. And so I ask these weird questions, and my wife says I'm weird because I ask these weird questions. And I can remember beginning to have an encounter with, you know, I'd been around angels and I'd been around the creatures in heaven and I'd been around the Father and I've done all these wonderful things. But I I'd also been around the seven spirits of God, and I'd been under the tutelage process with the seven spirits of God out of Galatians 4:1. You know, you're though a son being Lord of all is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. And so our tutors are the seven spirits of God. Of course, the governors are the men of white linen and all those people that have influence around our lives. And so I'll talk a little bit more about this later on, when I teach on the seven spirits of God. But I began to have this experience with this being, and I'm going to describe to you her appearance to me. She's about 7 foot tall. She has hair that is like white gold, eyes that are like fire, skin that is a light blue color. She has a garment that goes down to the ground with a sash that's over her that's got galaxies all woven into it. She's got a crown sitting on her head. She's got a scepter that she holds in her hand. And the wind of the breath of God is always, always moving around her. And there's this angelic court that moves with her. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at that. Now that's a woman. Like, I mean, so feminine, but so full of power and authority and governmental whatever. I was just like, oh my goodness, look at that. And so I spent days and weeks, in fact, actually just going back into that vision, just going, oh my gosh, look at that. Just trying to engage what was going on. And, you know, visions are very important for us because they're an interruption to the natural world that opens up the spirit kingdom world of the Father that gives us access not only just to see but to go in. And then it becomes a place of habitation. Becomes a place of visions and then visitations where you go in and you participate. And then habitation where you go in and participate and you stay there. Because I want heaven to be my habitation. That should be our desire as a son of God to have heaven as my habitation. And so I would go back into this thing and just go back into it. And so I went through this process with the spirit of wisdom. And I every time I began to get around her, everything around me would change. Like she would wreck everything. And so I started going through scripture trying to figure out who this wisdom was. And the more I got into it, the more questions began to arise. And so I started asking really serious questions about stuff and about my belief systems and about things that I began to see in the Word of God. And so I just want to read out of Proverbs a bit here, and you can just listen to me read. You don't need to turn to your Bibles. My Bible's as good as your one. And as I began to read this, some of my questions began to get answered, and I want to just talk a little bit about her before I read them. So what is the spirit of wisdom? The spirit of wisdom is a sentient being created by God at the beginning. This was before everything was formed. So she was with the Father and created as a sentient. A sentient being means a being that has a purpose and part of the divine structure. Okay, she was a sentient being created before everything was formed. The spirit of wisdom also sits on the council of the one of the seven spirits. She's one of the seven spirits of God. She sits on that administrative council that engages the body of Christ to bring them into the knowledge of God. Same way as the seven in the church engage the community, to bring the community and the knowledge of the blueprint. She brings us into the knowledge of the blueprint of the Father. See, it's all the same process. All the stuff starts to fit together when you see it like this. One of the things that the Spirit of Wisdom does is that she leads us into the ancient paths. And it's the only way to find her is in the ancient paths. And I'll give you scriptures for these in a minute so that we can go through this. But I'm just going to read out of Proverbs. But I just want to talk a little bit about her. And so she also leads us in the ways of righteousness in the paths of judgment. So the Spirit of Wisdom will lead us into the ways of righteousness. Remember, righteousness is a gift which we receive when we go into the realm of the presence of God. Okay, so let's just backtrack a bit here just to make sure we're all on the same pathway. Righteousness cannot be received by something that's corruptible. Righteousness can only be received by something that is incorruptible, which is your spirit man. Once your spirit man receives that incorruptible seed, and you bring it back down here with you, it can begin to translate and transform your soul and your body. It cannot be received here. It can only be received in heaven as a gift. The Bible says, and David said, blessed is the man into whom God imputes righteousness. And impute means to forcefully put into you outside of your desire. So when you go into the realm of the presence of God, God strips you of all your goody brownie points that you prayed for all the week so that I can't see your stuff. He strips you of all that stuff. And then what happens is he presents you before before himself, basically, as a complete righteous being. And so righteousness is not found on the earth. Holiness is. Because holiness is the outworking of the fruit of righteousness being ground down into your daily life where you become and engage holiness. Holiness is a choice. Righteousness is the gift that empowers holiness. So we've got to receive the righteousness of God in Christ. And people say, well, Jesus is in me. That is true. But he's also seated on the right hand of the Father. So if I'm going to be in Christ, I've also got to be seated on the right hand of the Father. And I need to go to the right hand of the Father. And so when we go into the world of the kingdom, it opens up for us in an amazing way. And so because the kingdom world is as close to me as the air that I breathe, and because Jesus tore open the veil, it means I have access into the world of the kingdom of my Father anytime I like. So no matter what I'm doing, no matter what's going on around me, I can go in and receive from him and be totally and absolutely changed from what I've been doing to become totally and absolutely holy. In one of the teachings I do, I talk about the sheep. Listen, it's not the sheep's job to make itself clean. It's the high priest's job to make the sheep clean. So all your brownie points about all the prayers you've done and all everything you've been repenting of, that's just brownie points. It actually doesn't really mean a hill of beans regarding righteousness. What it does mean is holiness. Because it produces holiness in you when you start repenting and engaging stuff. And so when we go into the world of the kingdom of the Father, the realm of his presence, we're talking about the seven structures of heaven tonight so you can get an idea of where you step when you go in. And then as we go into that world, God meets us and totally changes us, puts a complete different harmonic around us called righteousness, takes all our junk off us, puts a crown on our head, puts a scepter in our hand, and puts a ring on our finger, and says, beauty, now you can come and do what you need to be doing in my world. And so when I was here last year, I taught on the seraphim and the role of the seraphim about actually sanctifying and dealing with a coal in your life of the record of everything that's in the spirit world about unrighteousness and about sin and the nature of that stuff. You just need to get some of these CDs and just go through them until they get activated inside of you. And so, because the kingdom world is as close to us as the air that we breathe, and we have access into it anytime we like, I love spending time in the presence of the Lord. And it's not hard to go there. I don't have to think, man alive, I'm half drunk. I don't have to sing three fast songs and two slow ones to get into the realm of the presence of God. It's actually a choice to go in because it's already been done for me. And I need to enter into the way of Christ. And so when we go into that world, the whole world opens up for us. God cleans us so we can actually begin to participate with what's going on. Listen, that's just the beginning. That's not the end. That just gives you the fluffy duffies for the rest of the week and makes you feel a little bit better. And so for me, it was this process of going in and out that began to unlock some of this reality because I realized that everything I knew did not match up with some of what I was reading. And I don't know like you, but sometimes when I read stuff, my brain glazes over and you just read it. I've read the Bible over and over and over. This must be about my third Bible and it's a mess. And I love the Word of God. But listen, if you just read it and don't meditate around it, it's going to be useless to you. It'd be like a dry little story. And I can't get more than two little verses into the Bible before I start going, I wonder what that really means. I wonder what God's saying here. And then I spend the next hour and a half thinking about those two little scriptures I read when I should be reading the Bible. But I get more out of the two little scriptures than I do for an hour reading the Bible. Because that's meditating. So you meditate. You cogitate and you mull over the Word of God. I do teachings on that stuff. And so I began to meditate around the Spirit of Wisdom and who she was and what I saw in this encounter. And I would go back in and I'd begin to just, I mean, I didn't know what to do. Like, what do you do when you see something like that? It's just like, wow. You know, and then, and the court of the angelic that was around her was amazing. And so I began to engage some of these angels and I'll talk about some of that stuff through what we're going to be doing today. And so I went through this stage. I don't know, it must be 1.5 years or whatever, just engaging the Spirit of Wisdom and beginning to try and figure out how all this stuff works. Let me tell you, once you start to engage her, you realize how little you know about anything. Now, listen, I had been places, right? I had gone to the edge of the universe. I had done all this stuff. And I thought I knew a bit of stuff. And I realized how much stuff I didn't know. And then I started asking questions like, Father, what were you before you were? Don't ask those things until you're really prepared to have your brain really messed up. And I'm still, you know, I've got stuff I don't talk about because, I mean, people struggle with what I say now, let alone some of the other stuff that I'm working on. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Man, I'm getting absolutely smashed by the presence of God. Glory. And so I'm just going to read out of the Word here, and I'm just going to unlock some of these things that will be helpful for you regarding the Spirit of Wisdom. I really love her fellowship. I love who she is. I love what she's been. I love what she's making us into. I love the role she has with the Father and her desire for the sons of God to become part of that role. It says this, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? I want you to see here, wisdom and understanding are feminine in their appearance. Okay? In the seven spirits of God, there are three that are predominantly feminine, three that are kind of masculine, and one that sort of is everything, which is the Spirit of the Lord, which is not the Holy Spirit. And so we have this kind of dynamism that goes on with the body of Christ, and sometimes it seems like all the girls hang out together, and it sometimes like seems like all the guys hang out together. And so when you engage the Spirit of Might, you get, you know, all the Spirit of Counsel, all these other things that kind of come with the Spirit of Might, because they really enjoy hanging out because they're the boys. But when you engage the Spirit of Wisdom, you get understanding and knowledge and all these other things that kind of come around because they're the girls. But they're all together in, and they all understand one another and what they're doing. They're all part of the nature of the Father. And so, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Now, oh my goodness, I don't invite you, but just in that one little statement, there's all these things that are spoken about in one little chat, little verse, and I just want to unlock some of these things for you. She stands in the top of the high places. Okay. Jesus was taken up to a high and exceeding mountain. Okay, a high place. In some of the translations, you can actually see the understanding that actually that high and exceeding place actually was the edge of the atmosphere. And Jesus was showing the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdoms of the earth. Right? Because whoever rules in that world is going to rule on the earth. Because Satan occupies some of that world, and he's got two layers that are in darkness that occupy, or three layers that occupy and that are in darkness that have mountains in them. Then what happens is he sits on those mountains with all of his own kings, which are the Nephilim seeded people that have actually gone there, and the reptilian stuff that have gone there that rule those mountains that we have to deal with. The church hasn't dealt with yet because we're busy playing with territorial spirits, which are all the way down the bottom of the rung of the ladder. You know, we don't wrestle against principalities and powers. Wicked spirits, rulers of the darkness of this age, seated in heavenly places. They're not all seated in heavenly places. It's the rulers of the darkness of this age that are seated in those heavenly places. And they're outside of the atmosphere of the earth, because there's three layers in the atmosphere of the earth, and these things are seated outside of that. And so, the spirit of wisdom dwells on the high places. So, it isn't until we begin to engage the high places and take our mountain and sit in our governmental mountain and sit on the throne that God has given us to rule from that you'll ever really begin to understand the spirit of wisdom. We haven't even, most of the church hasn't even got off, "I bind you in the name of Jesus" yet. But realizing that there's an expression of government that sits in heaven, that once that begins to open up, will begin to move into the earth, because there is now a ruler in the high places or the heavenly places. Now we are seated in Christ in heavenly places, same place. The reason that they're there is because we're not there. And then there's, of course, there's mountains that go all the way up above all that, 7 upon 7, and the teaching unraveling the scrolls. I spent 2.5 hours talking about the little three layers that are connected between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the earth. There's 7 layers there, and all the mountains and all that stuff and all the processes and protocol of engagement of that. Listen, don't get freaked out that you don't know stuff. Just go, "Hey, I don't know stuff," and then just get on the pathway and get to know stuff. I've tried to make it easy by doing some teachings on this stuff, and you know, I have some people that don't like it. I don't really care. That's not my problem. I just have a responsibility to say what I see, and what this has been my experience out of the knowledge that God's given me from the Word and from my relationship, because not everything in your relationship with God is written in the Word, by the way. Okay, let's just clarify that, because I can feel some of you theologians going, "Can you show me motor vehicle? Can you show me cell phone? Can you show me television? Can you show me computer?" Okay. So if in my relationship with God there are things that are normal for the Father, and that out of relationship you come into the knowledge of them, and they become normal operating processes of your life, then are they deceptive if they're not in here? Ooh. Yeah, so here is the issue. If things we accept around us today as normal are not in the Bible, are we living in deception because we use them because they're not in the Bible? Okay, Jesus said this, that if everything I did was written down, it would fill the libraries of the earth. And we have one book. And we go, "This is all God is." Excuse me. This is a love letter of introduction that tells you about God. But what you do is you look at the fruit and the plumb lines that are set up from this that help you to judge in truth what you see. Because the issue is fruit. Judge fruit. Got to judge fruit. And so we just need to engage some of these things. And so then that's just one little piece. Listen, we've got 2 whole verses to get through here. By the way, in the places of the paths. So my question then was, where is the paths? Look, where are these paths that they talk about? So let's just talk about one of them, just so you have an idea of how hidden these things are in the Bible. The Father, when he threw Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put cherubims and a flaming sword in the way of the tree of life. Not in the way of it, but in the way of the tree of life. And so we have this little Christian bookshop experience from Sunday school that shows you an angel with a sword in front of a tree. Because we see in the picture, we believe that's what the word says. Just like Noah didn't build an ark, a boat, he built a box. Right? And so instead of realizing that cherubims means two, and the flaming sword is not connected to the cherubims, but is a sentient being, an administrator of the kingdom that stops people going into eternal life bearing sin. The way means a pathway that leads to eternal life, not a tree. Right, so that's one of the paths. Okay, there's eight of them that, whatever, and we'll do some of the stuff tonight. There's many more because there's some ancient paths as well. The next verse, which is number three now, says she cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Again, three things here. Remember, everything in the Bible goes in threes. So whenever, well, twos and threes and fours and then sevens and tens and nines and whatever. And so there's patterns all the way through the Bible that are numeric, because God's actually a numeritist, and so he loves mathematical stuff because he's the most amazing, how do you call it, creator of mathematics. God is a mathematical being. That's why your body is a mathematical formula. Every single thing around you in the physical form has a mathematical formula. Every single sound has a mathematical formula. Everything's about mathematics. We all thought it was about being a believer. But it is, but it's actually all about mathematics as well. And he's the author of mathematics. And so there's these three things that set up the government of something. And so in verse 2, it is three things as well. She stands at the top of the high places, in the way, in the places of the paths. So there's three things there. Top of the high places, in the way, in the places of the paths. Then in verse 3, it's she cries at her gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Again, three things. And so anything to do with threes is about the establishing of governmental protocol for engagement. It's just patterns all the way. Like you have three skins of your body, three skins in the atmosphere of the earth, three skins in the crust of the earth. We have three skins from Jesus, three skins from the Father, three skins from the Holy Spirit. And they all add to three skins, and then you add your three skins to that, and you get 12 skins, which are the 12 stones and the breastplate, and that's how you can administrate until you have those skins. You can't really be a priest. I mean, all that stuff. Get the CDs. And so she cries at the gates. So I begin to ask this question, what gates are you crying at? You know, a principality to a Hebrew is a king that sits in your gate and stops your entry into heaven. That's from the Zohar. That's what they believe a principality is. It's a king that sits in your gate that stops your entry into heaven. So if the king sits in my gate this side, then the spirit of wisdom is sitting on the other side waiting for you to deal with the king to come through into heaven. Because there's always two sides to the story. I don't know whether you ever know that. You know, the Bible says he who comes first in his cause seems right. That's why you always listen to two sides of the argument. At the entry of the cities. Now let me tell you something. The spirit of wisdom doesn't wait in the gate of your city on the earth. A city is the dwelling places. So she waits at the entry of the dwelling places. So the Bible says in Revelation 7, 8 or 9, somewhere around the after the seven thunders, it says, woe unto them that remain on the earth. Doesn't talk about living on the earth. See, I can live in heaven on the earth. Because I'm, don't get sleep with me, because I'm living in a door, in another way, in a process, in protocol, where God can engage me and the spirit of wisdom can bring me instruction about rulership. A gate is where exchanges were made about stuff, where trading went on. And that's why the Bible says, come and buy from me gold refined in a... Where do you go and buy gold from God? Give me a break. Well, it's found with the spirit of wisdom, where you trade with her. One of the key things you need to understand is that we can trade into the seven spirits of God with our life, with our things that we engage with the kingdom and bring the revelation that God has given us, that they have brought us into. We can trade it before the Father in the way of honor. Trading is also about honor. How many of you can feel the atmosphere is really, really not, I don't know about you, but I really love it. Hallelujah. And it says at the coming in of the doors, and then verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So, unto you, O men, and then to the sons of men. So, I asked this question, who were the men and who were the sons of men? Because there obviously seem to be two different groups of people. So God in Genesis 1, let us make man in our own image. He made he, them, male and female, together in one body. And then Satan falls, and then God creates Adam out of the dust of the earth. Two different things. One is called man, and we are called the sons of men. And so those two together, what's the function of two? To form an ark. Right? So then when an ark is formed, a window is opened and the glory of God can come and sit down. So it needs them and us together to open up the ark for the revelation of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says, you know, two by two. That's why, you know, guy's got to leave his wife, get married, not leave his, get, leave his mum and dad and get married. Why? Because the function of a husband and wife is to open up an ark so that the glory of God can come into the family. That's why you got two hands to open up an ark so the glory of God can get around your brain. So you lift them up. Buzz, 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 buzz. No, not really. That's why a woman has two ovaries, is to form an ark so that the kingdom world can bring the sons out of the glory world into her womb as a spirit being. That's why you have two eyes, you know, two ears to fry your brain. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of understanding heart. Two things again. Herefore I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands and right to them that find knowledge. So, for us to really receive from the Spirit of Wisdom, we need to actually get understanding and actually to find knowledge. So understanding and knowledge are two that open up an ark for revelation to come through into your life. See, I'm trying to uncover these patterns so you can see them all the way through the Bible here. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. So we need to receive her instruction and her knowledge rather than silver and gold. Okay? So let's talk about these four things here at the moment. Her knowledge, her instructions and her knowledge form an ark. So does silver and gold. That's why silver and gold belongs to the Lord, says the Lord. You know, the Bible says, so all the silver belongs to me. All the silver and all the gold belong to God. Well, why does all silver and gold belong to all the enemy? Why doesn't the church have it? And it's primarily because we have not engaged the Spirit of Wisdom. And so you have these four things, and four things are really, really important because the four symbolizes the doorway into heaven. And so we have here, receive instruction and silver and not silver, knowledge rather than gold. So we actually have four things. Those four things, if you get them all in the right place, instruction and knowledge, silver and gold, it opens up a window into the provision of God. Because there's four things. Four things are the four corners that open up a window. That's why you have four corners in a window, because it holds a window in place and you see through it. That's why a door has four corners. That's why you got four chambers of your heart. That's why there's four elements in your body. That's why there's four points of the compass and four corners of the earth and four spirits of heaven and four winds of heaven and four points on the, four gates on the menorah. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. All these things are all kind of connected all together and what they mean and the implication for us as believers. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. So you've suddenly now got access to an angel called Prudence who gives witty inventions to men. Witty inventions means making millions of dollars. I've got one young guy that's finally caught on what I've been talking about, making the ultimate power source. He's a physicist. He's gone, Ian, I've been listening to some of your CDs. I got a thing from him yesterday. I've been listening to some of your CDs, Ian, and I just want to sew this into you because I now know what you've been talking about and I'm trading because I want the knowledge of how to make that thing that you've talked about. In fact, I've got some ideas. Is this how it works? And I said, yep. Imagine that, making the ultimate power source that can power a whole city from nothing. You can put it in a car and make the car levitate and go anywhere around the face of the earth. Including across the sea at 400,000 miles an hour. With no gravity. I mean, isn't that an amazing thing? Anyway, whatever. And so, but those witty inventions come from this angel called Prudence. So how do you get them? Get to know the spirit of wisdom. And because Prudence dwells with wisdom. Hi, Prudence. Could I have some of them? Doesn't it make you mad when the world gets all the witty inventions? That's because what's happened is Prudence has been going to the church going, here's a witty invention. And we're going, can't talk with angels. Don't have anything to do with angels. In fact, don't have anything to do with that kingdom world, just in case it's scary and just in case my belief system has to change that I can go into it. So I don't even want to acknowledge that she's standing here, even though she's got all that stuff and goodies for me. Actually, I don't really want, because this isn't Father Christmas now. This is really truth. See, and so we have all this stuff that goes on around us. And so Prudence is another one of those angels that's just important for us to know about, and it's in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the forward mouth is do a hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom, and I am understanding and I have strength. So once you get understanding, you have strength to complete the task that you need to do. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. A Lord's function, Jesus is Lord of Lords, the function of a Lord is to decree justice. Right, so you stand in the place of government and you speak and decree justice. We did that thing in the courtrooms yesterday. That's where you stand and you speak and decree justice. That's what Jesus did. Luke 21. Simon, Simon, Satan has decided to sift you like wheat. Blah, blah, blah. Why? Because Jesus stood and said, no, I'm going to speak justice. This is the way it's going to be. By me, kings reign. Reigning means to rule in absolute power. I'm sorry if you don't believe in absolutes. I do. I believe we can rule in absolute power because we are connected to the absolute power source. And if my Father reigns in absolute power and I'm bearing His image and I'm going to be like Him, then I'm going to do the same thing He's doing. And in fact, He says I'm going to do greater. I just thought you might like to know that. Because actually, many of us actually don't really believe that. Because we have this euphoric fear that I will surpass God. Listen, the object of a father is to mature his sons so his sons can go further than what he's done. Then you can build together. See, the whole object of what God is doing in the system of government and in the process of what is happening now is that the was and the is joined together are going to make what is to come. Because the is in such a mess. He's trying to empower us out of what was to restore what is, so that what is today can form what is to come. At the moment, it's in a real mess. It's an absolute chaos, and God wants to form out of this is what is to come, and it's going to come through you. And so the only way you can reign is to be with the Spirit of Wisdom. Why? So you can actually begin to have absolute power and dominion to actually begin to administrate out of heaven on the earth and into the galaxies what is supposed to happen.
Yes.
Good to hear you getting excited. Glory to Jesus. Must have some other blood in you than British. No, not really. They can wipe that from the CD. I'll get hung, drawn, and caught in stone later. It says, by me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So you've got three things there. Princes, judges, and nobles. So what that says to me is that we have places in heaven of function. So if I'm going to rule and I'm going to be a noble and a prince and become a judge, then I have a place of function. And those three things joined together form government. You're starting to see these patterns through the Bible here now. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to seek the Holy Spirit. I thought we were supposed to seek Jesus. See, we are. But what happens is the Spirit of Wisdom wants to help us in this area of our responsibility so that we can serve the Father better. And so I've set my heart. When I read that, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to begin to engage the Spirit of Wisdom. So I'm busy praying in the Holy Spirit, allowing my heart to turn towards the Spirit of Wisdom, to engage her, to seek and engage the provision that she gives and all that God has given her to bestow upon me as a son. I don't know whether you've ever read Proverbs like this before. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, and durable riches and righteousness. Riches and honor are with me. Actually, they're also two angels. Remember I said there was an angelic court around the Spirit of Wisdom? See, as a Greek, when we read the word riches, we go, oh, money. When it's Hebraic, it's what's the function of riches? To administrate, to rule, to bring, to feed the poor, to, what did you say? Feed the poor, look after the widows, orphans, right? And so to engage all that stuff, you need the angels that are associated with the Spirit of Wisdom. So riches is an angel that is actually associated with the Spirit of Wisdom that brings gold and silver into your treasures. Treasuries inside your mountain. So you can administrate as a king. Because a king without gold ain't really a king. I don't know whether you know that, but that's the way it works. Now the golden rule, here's the gold rules. It's as simple as that. Riches and honor, an ark, are with me. Durable riches and righteousness, an ark. Those four. Riches and honor, durable riches and righteousness are four that open up a window. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Oh my God. Are you getting an idea now how deep this stuff goes? Right? So, excuse me, let me get a drink. Actually, I missed out a verse there because I got waylaid. Verse 19 says, my fruit is better than gold. Yea, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I want to talk about these things a little bit. The paths of judgment is an ancient way of God. Okay, these are the, we've uncovered a couple of ancient ways here, ancient paths. The paths of judgment are associated with the complete government of heaven's operation and its function coming through a way of expression. And so the whole realm of heaven has a capacity to flow through you in the way of the expression of the spirit of wisdom in what you do, which brings judgment with it. Judgment isn't to death. Judgment is always to life, birthed out of truth from love. Four things. And so you have this process that goes on when the Spirit of God gets around and begins to have function like this. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I might cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Listen, you've got to love the spirit of wisdom. I mean, it's there. Those that love me, you will get lots. Like, it'll come to you like a magnet. And you won't have a choice. You know, it's amazing. Has any of you ever been in a circumstance where you just happen to be in the right place, to just happen to be in the right circumstance, to just happen to be doing something, and just happen to be at the right time, to just happen to be doing this, and just happen to meet the right person, to just happen to be able to unfold that, to just, anybody ever had those kind of circumstances? That's wisdom. Because what she does is she opens up the path for you to stand so that those that are walking on that path can engage you at that point so she can give you what's needed for you to rule and reign. The spirit of wisdom will give you what is needful to rule and reign. So some of you who don't know what our sister's doing, she's trading. Okay, we do a teaching on trading and what it means to trade and to engage the revelation, and she understands it, and so that's what she's doing, so don't worry about it, it's all good. That I will fill your treasures. Man, I don't know about you, but that sounds exciting to me. I'm looking forward to the rich list one day. And the rich list is going to read differently. It won't have the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergs and all of those people at the top anymore. It won't have them at the top anymore. Can you just imagine Ian Clayton? I mean, I'm just saying, but you know. But why not? You know, what's $1 billion between friends? You know, what happened then, that little whole thing that's going on in Europe at the moment? Oh, gee, I'm so sorry. We lost $15 billion. Yeah. Don't know where it's gone. Oh, well, never mind. You see there, God is getting ready to do some stuff, and it's wisdom that's going to help the stuff get done. So we've got to learn how to love her. Got to appreciate her. You know, I mean, a woman really loves being appreciated. They love being honored. I mean, you just got to talk to your wife. And she'll be going, yep, 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 yep. Holy Spirit. I've got some very deep thoughts about a lot of the stuff that I'm just not sharing. No. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His ways, before His works of old. The Lord possessed me. Do you not realize what the word possess means? It means to become one with. See, this has been my thoughts. I wonder where the sun came from. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His ways, before His works of old. So we're living in the new works. So I wonder what the works of old were. I was set up from everlasting. So wait a minute. So we have what was, what is, and is to come. And before what was and is to come, we have everlasting. So she was set up in everlasting before the works of old, what was. Kind of sounds intriguing, doesn't it, really? Sounds to me like a lot went on that we don't know about. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the high parts of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree that the water should not pass, his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. When you take that in context, what I've just said, I wonder if there was something going on that we don't really want to face regarding our Godhead. You see, and then in Genesis, I mean, I'm just going there for a bit because I'm just, because you said go, so I'm going. Well, like in Genesis, let's just have a look at this here a bit. In Genesis, when God formed Adam and Eve and said it's not good for a man to dwell alone, but that he would leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Didn't Jesus leave the Father to come and cleave to his wife? And that was said before there were any children, before marriage was even an institution. So what was he actually trying to tell us? I wonder what God was really trying to say. That Jesus was leaving his Father. Well, it says father and mother. These are my thoughts. I'm not saying this is doctrine. I'm just saying these are my thoughts. Because you see, I believe that what we have received is such a small portion of a real bigger truth that God really wants the church to come into the knowledge of the fullness of God, which includes what was before the was. Which includes all of that. And it's going to come by revelation, having a foundation like this. Just these little things in the Word, they just add to something, and suddenly it's like, nah, that won't be possible. No, that doesn't fit in my belief system. No, that's not God, that's the devil. No, it was always just Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, it doesn't say that here when it's talking about the Spirit of Wisdom. See, the government of God was set up in what was. Which is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So what was in the eternal before that? See, it really messes with your theology when you ask God a question, what were you before you were? It really messes with theology. It really messes with everything I believed, everything I've been taught in church life. And it's in the Bible. I'm just going, nah. I wonder what people will say when they really find out what I think about some of this stuff. Well, just go ask the Spirit of Wisdom and get her to talk to you about it. She's got a few things to say. She really has. See, her, the Spirit of Wisdom's desire, I'll tell you, in the conversation with her, this is her desire, like the Bible says there, that she was his daily delight, always before him. The Spirit of Wisdom's desire is to take you back to the very beginning so that you can be his daily delight before him. Always. Because you've come out of the eternal world, didn't you know? So it means there must be some record of what we were doing before we were in the earth. And if the beginning, the end must match the beginning, then we need to get an idea of where we came from and what we were doing before we were in the earth and the is. And what I was before I is, and what eternal realm was before the was is. My goodness, it's 11:15. Rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delight were in the sons of men. So the spirit of wisdom rejoices in the habitable parts of the earth. I wonder what the unhabitable parts are. Now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. The ways of the spirit of wisdom are very important. It's another one of the ancient ways, is the ways of the spirit of wisdom, the paths of the spirit of wisdom. Hear instruction and be wise and don't refuse it. Blessed is the man that hears me. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All that hate me love death. He that finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Doesn't that kind of sound kind of right? Like if I engage the spirit of wisdom and he's loved her right from the beginning, that he's going to favor me because I'm engaging her and actually building a relationship? How's your theology, doctrinal buttons going? Bing, 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 bing. I can feel some people trying to squash this into their belief systems. Listen, this doesn't fit. I don't know about you, but until I've spoken some of this stuff, I never heard anyone ever speak on any of this stuff. So we haven't been here before, so don't get freaked out about it. Just take it home. If you don't like it, throw it away. It's not my problem. It really isn't. You know, you're powerful enough to make your own decisions about belief systems. But you better ask him first. Don't just go in your belief systems. What is the Father saying? And so there's a number of ways. There's a number of ways here to find the spirit of wisdom. Don't know whether that's me or something going on. The first one is we need to be watching daily at her gates. We need to be waiting at the posts of her doors. And when we do that, we'll find life and find favor. Now, wisdom has built her house and has hewn out her seven pillars. Let's just talk about these seven pillars here a little bit, because we've often referred to them as the seven spirits of God or the seven stars that are in the book of Revelation. I've just got a suggestion for you. And you can follow this through in your own thinking and throw it away if you want to. I don't really care. Have you ever wondered why in the Pleiades galaxies there's seven stars and moons that move around the Pleiades galaxies? Because remember, there's seven mountains and each mountain must have a throne to sit on. So seven pillars are the thrones of the sons of God that can sit on those mountains. Till you engage wisdom, you'll never engage the doorway of that star that opens up the platform for government on the earth. See, why do you think Abraham was told to count the sands of the sea? And then why do you think he was told to count the stars of heaven? Two seed lines. One earthly, one heavenly. You choose which seed line you're going to be of by your position and where you rule from. If you worry about and concerned about what's going on the earth, then you'll get what's coming to the earth. If you're concerned about what's going on in the heavens, you position yourself then what goes on the earth won't affect you because you're in the heavens.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. She has killed her beasts. That's a really interesting little statement. considering that Paul said something, I think in the book of Galatians or something like that, I wrestled with beasts at Ephesus. Paul didn't fight with cows, by the way. Listen, what, if you really want to know the mark of the beast, it's found in John 6:66. It's just amazing in the Bible. Why do we say that the beast is one man? It's because we've been taught that. Now, if the beast is one man, then the bride of Jesus is one person as well. We're coming to the end. Praise you, Jesus. She has sent forth, she has killed a beast and has mingled her wine, and she has furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the high places of the city. Who is simple, let him turn in. As for him that wants understanding, she has said to him, come, eat of my bread and drink the wine which I have mingled. So you've got to go and eat of the bread, which is the life of the kingdom world of the spirit of wisdom, and drink the wine and the oil that she's mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in a way of understanding. He that reproves the scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me your day shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. I don't know about you, but I want to live forever. So if the spirit of wisdom says to me they're going to increase, then I need to get to know her so that there can be longevity in what I'm doing. Listen, I really believe that the church has been in such a hard place that she has not been able to engage and understand the protocol of the spirit of wisdom and her role in the Godhead, her role in us, her role around us, and her functionality of bringing us into all that the Father has as an expression of His kingdom on the face of the earth. I've done some extensive studies on the spirit of wisdom, and I did 3 teaching sessions on it when I was in Abraham's Bosom Conference. Those 3 are going to go on the website, and it's going to be called the Spirit of Wisdom shortly. And I just suggest you get them. Just get them and have a listen to it. I don't really care if you don't believe the stuff I've said today. Just read your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to blow away your belief systems so that you can actually begin to get some revelation of what He's really wanting to bring on the face of the earth. I don't really care if you've got a PhD in philosophy and theology and all the other stuff. I want to know, do you get revelation from God? That's what I want to know. Do you walk in a revelational understanding of the presence of God where you can't just read the Bible because the whole Word comes alive to you and there's depths that you're plumbing out of the Word of God? That's the spirit of wisdom that I'm interested in relating with. Because now let's just have a look at this. This is what I love about the body of Christ. Can you imagine 150 people, I don't know how many people, 120 people or whatever. Can you imagine 100 people all engaging, all coming to the same point, all engaging the spirit of wisdom and in her realm and what she operates and functions with? Can you imagine how we can change the face of the earth? Now people have said to me, oh Ian, that's the Old Testament. It doesn't exist anymore. That's what's old. It's all gone away. All that is the Holy Spirit today. That is true, but it's not all the truth. See, Jesus superseded what was there. But to understand what we have today, we've got to go back to the past, because you've got to know where you come from, to where you're going. So when you people say, oh, Jesus has given me all, really, what has He given you? Well, we don't really know. That's because you haven't actually gone into study where you come from in the first place. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to this truth and to these truths. That's his thing. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. His job is to unlock the hidden secrets so that we can engage those hidden secrets to become no secrets anymore, but to become an outward expression of the domain of his kingdom over us. And God will do that for us. We just got to set a heart. And listen, this took me years. It didn't happen by me hearing a nice little sermon in church on Sunday, somebody laying hands on me and I was blessed on Monday, and it all happened on Sunday. And the following week, on Tuesday, sorry. Next day on Tuesday. It just didn't happen like that. This was years of culturing and cultivating, trying to get understanding in some of this stuff, and reading through the Bible and sitting on one little passage for weeks on end, trying to engage the presence of God and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, knowledge, might, counsel, the field, or trying to engage them in their role and what they do and all of these things and how they all fit together. Listen, that's our job. It's to spend time with God. Not just going, wow. What's my role in wow? What do I need to do to express wow to the whole of the world around me, into our solar system, into our galaxy, into the universe, into every dimensional world that's on the outside of our universe? What do I need to do to engage this, to make this functional so God can move through us, touching everything that is around us, changing it? I'm looking forward to terraforming the face of the earth. I really am. I'm looking forward to walking through walls, walking through people. I'm looking forward to going up to some stuff that's dead and calling it to life and letting the glory that is within it come to life again. This is what the Spirit of Wisdom is really wanting to engage the church in. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you've enjoyed yourself this morning. It's now 11:30. I couldn't quite believe I've been in this for about an hour and a quarter now. But for me, the Spirit of Wisdom is one of the primary spirits of God. And there's a lot about her in here. If you go through the Samson's life, you'll find everything to do about the Spirit of Might. In the same way. Exactly the same way. And Solomon getting understanding how to build a temple. It's all in the Bible. And I don't know about you, but I find this stuff exciting because it breaks me out of the mundane, going to church on Sunday, warring on Monday, dying Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coming to church hoping to get my lift on Sunday so I can handle a bit more stuff on Monday. What a useless waste of time of life. We've got to begin to engage the presence of God to bring us into what we need to, and to engage what God has given us. And the full provision of all of that. I want everything the Spirit of Wisdom has to offer. And I've been and I've drunk her wine and her oil. I've met her in the joining of the paths by the pillar. Let me tell you, there's a pillar in the heavens. I'll just give you a nice little story for you and we'll finish with this. But there's a pillar in heaven which is, it's this great big post. It's like this huge trunk of a tree. But it's, I mean, I don't know how to describe something. It's not a tree, but it kind of is, but it isn't, because it's just a post and a door. It's where the doors are and the joining of two paths come together, and you can find the Spirit of Wisdom by the joining of the paths, by the doorpost. All right? And so, in my journeys, trying to find this, walking with Enoch and going where he went and to see what he did and to engage some of this stuff, I came past this doorpost. And I knew the Spirit of Wisdom was here and all that kind of stuff. But it's amazing. Because when some of these angelic creatures go through the ancient paths and move through them to do things outside of our little universe, they oftentimes they so big that they leave feathers behind. And on this pillar were all these feathers. And like I was like, I thought it was another being of some kind. The reason I thought it was a being, because feathers have eyes and feathers never die and they can see. So I kind of walked past this post and all these blasted eyes in the feather went. And I was going, what on earth is that? So I took a step back and they all go, and then took another step forward and they go, and they're following me. These eyes all looking at me. I mean, it was just one of those weirdest things. Now, here's just something you need to know. When an angel leaves his feather behind, that mark actually can be seen everywhere and everywhere. And that feather is a seen thing because nothing's ever dead. Nothing ever dies in heaven. And so the life of the angel is recorded in that feather, and its mark is in that feather. It's just stuff that's really important for us. Anyway, let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Spirit of wisdom, we want to thank you that you have been the delight of the Father from the very beginning. That you were with him in that realm that was before there was. That he formed you, that he made you. That your delight is to empower us and to endure us with all of the delight of the Father that the Father has given you. Father, I ask today that you would really help these men and women that are in here and those that hear this tape and CD. Father, to come into a place of deeper connection with your presence. And the Lord, out of that place, you will lead your people and your children to encounter the Spirit of wisdom. Father, as a body of Christ, we need wisdom because we need the provision that you come. But Lord, I want to find wisdom first before I have any access to provision. Spirit of wisdom, I want to thank you that you've been so patient like a mother, brooding over and waiting in the paths, the joining of the paths and by the pillars, where you cry daily at your gates for the sons of men, for fellowship with the Father, to bring them into being the daily delight of the Father. Spirit of wisdom, I want to thank you today for your patience with the sons of men. Lord, where we've desired evil things instead of engaging who you are. Jesus, I want to thank you that you made a door open, and Holy Spirit, that you're leading us to unlock the scrolls of the hidden mysteries of the kingdom world of our Father. We ask you to make them real to us, Lord. Lord, not to get too worried about where I'm at, but Lord, just to know that I'm on a journey and that your joy is to take me through that journey. Father, I want to bless these people today in the name of Yeshua, Christ's mighty name.